Life of Sacagawea's Mountain Man's Son, a Tantalizing Mystery. You know, this guy is one of the most important characters in Oregon history, and we don't even know what he looked like. He's the only person ever depicted as a baby on U.S. currency, and we don't even know if the baby looked like him. Jean-Baptiste Pomp Charbonneau, the baby born to Sacagawea during the Lewis and Clark expedition, is one of the most important figures in Oregon history, and we know almost nothing about his life. And a lot of what we think we know, we don't know. Well, good morning, and thanks for tuning in. You've got Offbeat Oregon Du Jour, the audio edition, and I'm going to read this story to you in just a minute, but first I'm going to introduce myself. My name is Finn J.D. John, and I do a weekly newspaper column called Offbeat Oregon History. The column got started in 2008 and runs in about a dozen community newspapers around the state. It tells the stories of Oregon history that nobody knows about. Stories of heroes and rascals, of shipwrecks and lost gold, of shanghaied sailors and Skid Row bordellos and pirates and robbers and buried treasure and unsolved mysteries. Great stuff. And this RSS feed that you're listening to right now is associated with the newspaper column. What it is a daily feed of one of our archive columns every morning in your choice of text and pictures or audio-only formats. So today's episode ran in the newspapers on July 25th, 2011, and I'm going to read it to you now. Out of the entire Lewis and Clark expedition, only one member ever set foot in the Oregon Territory again, and actually, he's buried here. That would be Pomp, Jean-Baptiste Charbonneau, the baby born to Sacagawea in a birch bark canoe in Fort Mandan, which is now in North Dakota. Charbonneau led a life of extremes, even by the standards of his time. Raised and educated in St. Louis, he traveled to Europe to spend 6 years in the court of a German duke, helped the Mormons invade Mexico, became one of the most respected mountain men of the West. He spoke, no one really knows how well, but he spoke at least half a dozen languages and probably more. A picture of him, or a picture of a baby that's supposed to represent him, is on the ill-starred golden dollar coin released several years ago and now consigned to the dustbins of history. It's the only picture of an infant ever to appear on American money. One of the scenic landmarks of the Rockies, Pompey's Pillar, is named after him. Yet nobody today has any idea what he looked like. For such a literate fellow, he seems to have written almost nothing beyond official documents. He drifts through early American history like a frontier ghost, and half the stories you'll hear about his life have been made up to fill the more enticing holes in what we actually know. Here's what we do know. After returning from the expedition, William Clark kinda adopted the little guy and made sure he got as close to a first-class education as you could get in early 1800s St. Louis, which is, by the way, better than you might think. This was probably fair. Lewis might well have owed his life to Pomp. If you ask me, he certainly did. The baby served as an irrefutable demonstration of peaceful intentions with every Native American tribe the Corps of Discovery met on its path west. Without him and his mom in the canoe, it's entirely possible, and actually rather likely, that the entire Lewis and Clark expedition would have been annihilated in a bloody misunderstanding somewhere along the upper Missouri before ever getting near the west coast, and consequently Oregon would have ended up as a colony of either Spain or England. When Charbonneau was 18 years old, the lad met Duke Paul Wilhelm of Württemberg, who was on a tour of the American wilderness. When the Duke returned to Europe, the lad went with him. Nobody knows for sure if he went as a friend and companion, or just as a servant, or even as an exotic specimen exhibit. He was, after all, half Native American and already very much a frontiersman. In any case, when the Duke returned 6 years later, so did Charbonneau. During his time in Europe, he'd picked up some Spanish and German to add to the English, French, Shoshone, and Hidatsa that he already had. He probably knew some other Indian languages, too. At that point, Charbonneau plunged back into the wilderness. Now you might think that fresh from the European court, his options in St. Louis and even back east would be pretty good. But throughout his life, the men he'd looked up to, his father and Mr. Clark, had been frontiersmen who'd won their stripes by going out into the wilderness. Plus, he was half Indian. No matter where he went back east, he'd be an outsider. On the frontier, guys like Joe Meek, Jim Bridger, Kit Carson, they could care less if he was half Indian. They wouldn't judge him by his ethnic background. If they did, they'd count his Indian heritage as a good thing. Westward he went, again. What followed was a life spent trapping beaver, shooting buffalo, exploring, negotiating and fighting with Native Americans, and digging for gold. His skills in Spanish and several Indian languages made Charbonneau a major asset during the Mexican War, and after the hostilities ended, he served for a time as a magistrate in the San Luis Rey mission near San Diego. When gold was discovered in Northern California in 1848, Charbonneau found himself in perfect position. A local, managing the hotel in the town of Auburn. He spent 16 years working the diggings there. He apparently also fathered a child named Maria there, his second, actually. The first, with a German woman in Württemberg, died in infancy. What happened to Maria is anybody's guess. Beyond a birth record, the mission records are silent about her and the baby, about whom we don't even know a name. So somebody out there could be a descendant of this man and not have any idea. Eventually, the California gold petered out, and Charbonneau heard of a rich strike in western Montana. On his way there, he cut across the southwest corner of Oregon, and that is where, after getting soaked crossing the Owyhee River, he got pneumonia, or something similar, possibly alkali poisoning, and died. For decades, his gravesite was a mystery, too. But in the little high desert community of Jordan Valley, a persistent bit of local folklore held that Charbonneau was buried in one of six modest graves on a local ranch, a grave that was only known for sure to hold a, quote, half-breed Indian. Ranch owner Mike Hanley made it his mission to learn the truth, and with the help of some professional researchers, he got it. The, quote, half-breed Indian was indeed the inimitable multilingual mountain man himself. Today the gravesite is a National Historic Landmark. Its occupant is immortalized with a baby picture that probably looks like nothing like him, on a coin that's become almost as obscure as the life story of the man himself. History shows us just enough of Jean-Baptiste Charbonneau's story to know that there's a great story there. Unfortunately, it looks like we'll never really know it. All we know for sure is that, had it not been for pomp, Oregon would be a totally different place today, and maybe even part of a different country. That's it for today. You can check out all of these columns and subscribe to either RSS feed by going to www.offbeatoregon.com. Both Offbeat Oregon du jour feeds are optimized for smartphone use, but they work great on a tablet or a netbook or even an old-fashioned computer, if you wish. Everything here is covered under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license. Thanks for listening, and drop me a line anytime at finn@offbeatoregon.com, or if you do Twitter, @OffbeatOregon, especially if you're going to be in the Corvallis area and have time for a cup of coffee. I'll be back tomorrow around 6 a.m. with the next episode, and until then, well, happy trails!